Let's go before God. Dear Lord, as we approach you this morning, we give you thanks for the ways that you have been our shepherd and that you have shepherded us in the past, the ways that you lead us today, in the ways that we, by faith this morning, proclaim that you will continue to be our shepherd as long as there is time. In Jesus' name, amen. My wife's cousin, who lives out in the Great Northwest, had a baby a few years ago. Just this precious little baby named Naomi, which pretty much makes her now this precious little toddler named Naomi. She's got this big round face and strawberry blonde hair. And her eyes are not quite blue, they're not quite gray, they're not quite silver. It was like God one day decided to create a color of eyes just for Naomi. They're like gentle rain clouds. They're just this beautiful, big, big eyes. And Shelley and her sweet husband take Naomi to church often. And not too many Sundays ago, they started singing, "I Am a Sheep." And Naomi pays attention. She really pays attention during the song service. And you know how, if you've been to church services for a little while, you know how singing goes in the life of the church, right? You will start singing, but typically the song leader, the praise team, will sing the first few notes and then you come in. You know what I'm talking about? So that what you sing is really "Zing Grace." You come in. Well, so picture that scenario with Naomi in her church and they're singing "I Am a Sheep." So song leader and praise team starts the song, but it's only the few of them singing "I am a sheep," and then the rest of the congregation comes in a few notes in. And so it was just this perfect storm of timing with Naomi that when they sang "I am a sheep," and before the rest of the congregation came in with "And the Lord is my shepherd," when she heard "I am a sheep," she decided to join in and just went, "Ah!" Real loud, just right to where everybody could hear it. Just right. And I'm thinking that maybe on that particular Sunday at that particular church, with that particular song, that maybe, just maybe, she was not the only one who got it. I mean, we all get it, at least to a certain extent, but that she was the one that maybe got it the most. Just in an innocent little outburst, she heard all these people around her saying, "I am a sheep." I know what sound the sheep makes. She joined in. You know, and I'm thinking, out of all the animals that we could be compared to in Scripture, I used to wonder sometimes, why sheep? You know, I'm thinking, if we have to be compared to a farm animal, I mean, if that's kind of the way that Scripture works and the way that God is going to tell the story, if that's what we're going to be compared to as sheep, I can't think of a better animal for us to be compared to. It's like the perfect animal for us to be compared to, but probably not for the reasons that we've said all along. Because you know what I'm talking about, right? I mean, if you've been a Christian for very long, you've sat through a number of shepherd and sheep sermons. Right? I mean, it's not the first shepherd and sheep sermon that you've ever heard. Every 3 years, when it comes to the lectionary readings that Christians around the world read together, this happens to be the one where we do the shepherd and sheep stuff the most. There's other places throughout that three-year cycle that does shepherd, sheep stuff. This is the big one. This Sunday, today, all over the world, pastors and priests and preachers and all kinds of people are getting up in front of their congregations and yet again subjecting them to a shepherd and sheep sermon. And every one of them that I hear is a little bit different, but have you ever walked out of a shepherd and sheep sermon knowing more about the behavior patterns of sheep than you learned about God? You know, or you heard something really, well, that was interesting about a shepherd. I didn't know that the staff and all that, but you didn't really encounter God that much. You just heard a lot of interesting trivia about sheep and shepherds and fields. Oh, they like this kind of grass. And did you know that sheep with black wool have a keener sense of smell than sheep with white? I'm just like, well, what does that have to do with God? But I still say that if we're going to have to be compared to an animal, sheep is a good one. But not for the reasons that we often say. Because unfortunately, whenever we sit through sheep and shepherd sermons, sometimes the sermon goes in the direction that sheep are dumb and they just kind of stand around all the time until the shepherd, you know, pops them on the back, says, let's go. Oh, okay. I don't think that's what Scripture is doing in sort of getting us to sing songs like, I am a sheep and the Lord is my shepherd. I think something else is going on here. And I think a lot of it has to do with things that are proclaimed in Scripture like this. If you've ever played Name That Tune, Name That Tune. See if you can identify this one. I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As shepherds seek out their flocks when they are among their scattered sheep, so I will seek out my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places to which they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land, and I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the watercourses, and in all the inhabited parts of the land. I will feed them with good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel shall be their pasture. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and they shall feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep. Sounds like Jesus, right? It's Ezekiel. Ezekiel. What? The guy with the bones and the wings and the eyeballs and all that, he's the one who said this? Yeah. Ezekiel. Ezekiel sets a tone and does all kinds of beautiful things in suggesting and really getting the ball rolling of this Lord is my shepherd business. But the great thing, the reason that I love that Ezekiel said it and kind of influenced the direction that Jesus would go in one of his primary sermons in the Gospel of John, is because what Ezekiel is doing, not just in what he says, in what is the big climax of Ezekiel, chapters 33 through 37. You know, it's the big part of the story. And you have this wonderful shepherd imagery that eventually is going to influence Jesus' preaching. But the reason I love that Ezekiel says this, and particularly where he says it, is that it is a word for all time. You can pick up that message of Ezekiel, and it doesn't matter when you tell that story in the presence of the people of God, it's always going to be appropriate. You can take this, "I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep," and say, well, when was that really relevant? You know, you've done that with Scripture, right? Well, what did it mean to the original listeners? Not on this one. This is so much bigger than just the original listeners. Now, I know what the original listeners heard when they said that, or at least we can kind of piece it together through history. They're in Babylon, and they want to go home. They want to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the temple because, you know, they're out on the outskirts of Babylon. Of course they want to go home. And so Ezekiel, on behalf of God, says, "I'll be your shepherd and I'm going to take you home." Yeah, but long before that, this word was for the people of God. Because you know what Jacob said to Joseph during the blessing? He said, "The Lord has been my shepherd my whole life long." And you go back to these ancient stories like Joseph and Jacob and all these people, and then a little bit later, they're wandering around in the wilderness and they want to go home too. Even though they don't even know what home looks like. They just know that God is taking them somewhere. Ezekiel 34, if it could somehow go back in time, it has a voice too. And it certainly has a voice for the people in Babylon, and it's going to have a voice for all time. That's the beauty of it. And so it's in that tradition that Jesus says this in John 10. "Very truly, I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate but climbs in by another way is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they don't know the voice of strangers." Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they didn't understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them." Hit the pause button for a minute. Did you notice that Jesus just said the same exact thing over again? Wait, you just told us that, didn't you, Jesus? Why are you repeating yourself? And then Jesus says, because the sheep would not listen to them. Oh man, there's all kinds of humor in that. Don't miss it. And then Jesus adds another contour, another layer to the story in verse 9. "I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." You know what I love about Jesus saying this in John 10 and Ezekiel saying this back in Ezekiel 34? I love all kinds of things about it, but there's one thing I love more than anything. It's that they preached essentially identical sermons. Jesus fulfills it, but it's the same story of God, and it is over 500 years apart. Think of very much in this world that lasts 500 years. 500 years, you know, think about this. 500 years ago, if we just started today, 500 years ago, we didn't even have an understanding of the Milky Way galaxy the way that we understand it now. Can you imagine life without the Milky Way? Which pretty much means you don't have Milky Way candy bars either, and that's a tragedy. It's awful. 500 years ago, we didn't have an understanding. We thought it was like maybe a band of exploding stars. They didn't know what it was. 500 years ago. 500 years this year. You know what this is the 500th anniversary of? This year, 2017, 1517, October, the Protestant Reformation. So think about this. Over 500 years ago, there's no Protestants. You know, I'm not going to make too big a deal out of it other than to say a lot changes in 500 years. 500, you know, a little bit over 500 years ago was when Joan of Arc was doing her thing. Boy, that feels like a long time ago. You say Joan of Arc, that's ancient history. Yeah, it is ancient history, but that's the beauty of it. That 500 years, all kinds of things change. And so then you go from the preaching of Jesus and you rewind 500 years and you think, oh man, Jesus is saying something new. The people of God have never heard this before. No, it's actually quite the opposite. You rewind 500 years from when Jesus preached the I Am the Good Shepherd sermon, you rewind 500 years over 500 years, and a preacher saying the same thing? That's the beauty of it. That over all that time, I mean, what else do you know that's consistent over a 500-year period? Can you imagine God trying to communicate to His people generation after generation a simple message like, I am the Good Shepherd? And that God continues to communicate this to us over enormous swaths of time. That God keeps consistent. And what's so great about this is that, you know, it was a couple of thousand years ago that Jesus says this, and we're still saying the same thing here today about this Good Shepherd. In Ezekiel said it, and then really hundreds of years before Ezekiel said it. There's this old song, and I think you're going to like it. It way predates Ezekiel, and it's beautiful. It's just this beautiful song. You may have heard it before. It's really pretty. I picture during Ezekiel's time, or even during Jesus' time, or after Jesus, when the early church planted itself all over the Mediterranean. I mean, just look at all these churches scattered around Asia Minor. Every single one of them sang pretty much from the same songbook. you know, 150 or so songs, and they would all sing them together. And you have to be convinced that there were song leaders who kind of had favorite songs, songs that they really enjoyed leading. And you can probably be assured that somewhere in Asia Minor, there was a song leader who loved to get up in front of the church and say, "Everybody turn in your songbooks to number 23. 2-3, let's all be standing." And, you know, and they would sing. And I can't help but picture that there were children up at the front, you know, in these houses and little buildings, and they were all kind of gathered, sitting cross-legged on the floor, and the song leader would say, "Everybody open to number 23. We're all going to sing this song together." And there were kids cross-legged there, and, you know, their elbows are on their knees, and their chins are, and their jaws are resting. And they say, "Oh, man, we got to sing that again." You know, and there's someone sitting, you know, up in the balcony. And they're thinking, "Wait, now, didn't the song leader just lead this 3 weeks ago, and we're already singing it again?" The song leader's like, "Yeah, but just trust me on this one. This one is worth saying out loud again together." You know, and so, song leader, Psalm 23, starts them off. And he says, "The Lord is my shepherd." You know, but then the rest of the congregation joins in on, "I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long." The Lord is consistent with us. So too, let us be consistent with one another. And by the way, that whole sheep comparison thing, why couldn't we have been compared to, you know, like bears or something a little cooler than sheep? It's not because sheep are dumb. It's because if you've ever spent any time around shepherds and sheep, the sheep go everywhere together. Amen.